Hump day at noon. Halfway to the weekend. Congratulations. It's all downhill from here. Hey, tomorrow and Friday, Randy and myself are going to be broadcasting live from the Tito Stillhouse.
Yeah, man.
At East Lake Golf Course.
Yeah, dog.
For the Tour Championship.
A lot of fun, dog. A lot of fun. I think that's one of the things, because we were having fun this morning, because, Bo, all four of us were together. Rarely do we get there because Bo usually does a steakhouse. And when Abe's off, he's usually in there and we do the Off the Cuff podcast. Mm-hmm. So today was the first time that all four of us have been together because Abe decides to come in on his damn day off, which I'm just like, what are you trying to do? But no, so it was a whole bunch of things. We were talking about being out at East Lake and being on remotes. Mm-hmm. And boy, we pushed the button with Bo Johnson, boy.
Yeah, no, you want to hear Bo.
You want to hear Bo get mad.
Go from 0 to 60.
Like, and he
listen
did.
To today's podcast.
He went 0 to 60.
Now, what I wasn't sure of, and we can ask him because he's right here with the microphone. Who is he? Is he mad at us? Like, who's he mad at?
I don't know. All I know is
he mad at Abe?
Because
I'd like them to fight. That'd be funny.
No, it wouldn't be. Bo would have a hemmed up under that damn computer.
Yeah, no, that wouldn't be good.
But I just like, I mean, how the topic just went from we're just chatting it up and everything, and Bo like, and I'll tell you another thing. Like, damn, bro.
I didn't know that was in there.
But my guy, he went like hot.
He did.
I want to go on damn remotes.
Which is reasonable.
Which is reasonable,
it's totally reasonable.
Like, tired of hearing you guys through the damn microphone having a good time.
Well, and what he said was totally right. Because he's back here by himself. And we've been out at training camp. And we've been at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. And we're going to be at East Lake on Thursday and Friday. And this is something that people, hopefully it's not you and me, but other people maybe down the line, are out at places just complaining about being there.
Yes.
And Bo's like, well, I'd like to be anywhere.
I'd like to be there.
That'd be fun. So not only am I not there, I have to listen to you not want to be there. So it's like, that's fun to listen. Again, hopefully that's not us down the line doing that because we're always thankful to be at the places that we're at.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, we'll be out there tomorrow and Friday. Bo won't be. He'll be right back here at the ranch.
In the air conditioning.
Again, nobody cares less about being hot than you and Bo.
Yeah.
You guys do not care about being hot. In fact, Bo loves being hot.
I'm cool. Whatever. It is what it is, man. You know, my biggest thing with me is, you know, being hot at certain different things. Like, yeah, like if I'm at the beach, I don't like being out there in that sun.
Mm.
You know, give me an umbrella. Very rarely am I uncovered when I'm out on the beach.
Me too.
Yeah, very rarely am I uncovered. I always got the umbrella, always. But now we talk about going to training camp. It's whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, not that long. I'm not out there.
It's supposed to be hot.
I'm not going to be like Bo and Mike Johnson and be there at the beginning of practice and sit out there in that sun all day. Hell no.
Yeah, it's just the
I
same
ain't
thing
play.
With the Tour Championship last year. We were outside last year. Now, that was a very hot day.
Woo.
But
it was cool.
Look what it was.
It was cool because
you were going to be hot.
It was cool. We were outside. It was hot as hell. But we had cold. That bill was so cold.
Yeah, it was
cold.
We were in the Mick Ultra tent. They were fresh. I mean, straight out of the icebox.
Knocking them things back. And so it was good. You kept yourself cool and everything. Now,
sounded like y'all were having a blast.
Yeah.
Nah, it sucked. It wasn't any fun.
It wasn't any fun. But you know what? I didn't have a good time.
Nah, it wasn't.
I didn't.
It was terrible. And tomorrow is going to suck. And so
is
Friday. No one's going to like it.
It is. Right, you know,
I appreciate that, fellas.
Bo, I don't even want to go, man. How about I stay here in the studio with you and let Andy and Abe go out there? I'm sure this equipment can work like that.
Hey,
right?
There's air conditioning here.
God, that makes him mad. He hates it so much. I do want to give a shout out to something me and Bo were involved in last night.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out to Coca-Cola and all the good folks over there at the Coca-Cola Fantasy League that we play in every single year. Falcons do a great job. There was all kinds of cool prizes. Dave Archer MCs it every year. It's always funny to listen to Dave just kind of on a microphone working the room, making fun of everybody.
Really?
Which is awesome. He was making fun of us a lot, which is fine. But a good time. Always a really fun event. And thanks to the 92.9 The Game listeners who were there as a part of our team to make it even better than ever.
So what's the team looking like?
Team's looking good.
Okay.
Really good. You want to know who's on it?
Y'all already got the text chain going?
Yeah. Yep.
Is it all fantasy?
It's all fantasy.
Okay.
All business.
All right. All fantasy. Okay.
Yeah. Just fantasy.
Yeah.
Pat Mahomes at quarterback.
Okay.
And the cool thing is they do at this draft is they give like little gag gifts away based on who you pick.
Mm-hmm.
So we picked Mahomes and they gave us Kermit the Frog.
Y'all gonna leave that man alone.
Puppets.
Y'all gonna leave that man alone.
Well, I'm not.
Y'all gonna leave
it. Doesn't make any difference to me.
Y'all leave that man alone.
But Lily got a Kermit the Frog puppet last night.
Did she sleep with it?
She sure did.
My girl.
Not only did she sleep with it, He rode with it on the way to school today, and we listened to Kermit the Frog sing some song on the radio. So that was nice. But so, yeah, and we got Bijan Robinson. So we got the Bijan Mustardson hats, which was cool. Who else? We got Javonte Williams, our running back. We got Debo. We got George Pickens because they don't have anybody else to throw the football there to. We got Brock Bowers.
Oh, okay.
Thought you'd like that.
All right.
Jackson Smith and Jigba.
Oh, nice.
Feel pretty good about the team.
Nice.
Now, it's a 16-team league, so it's pretty deep. But I feel pretty good about
that.
The guys
That's a nice squad right there.
Also had to get Jalen Polk. From the Patriots.
That's your guy.
Might end up being their number one receiver.
That's your guy right
had
there.
Had to get a Washington
guy. Yeah, but I mean, we just talk because it is fantasy football season, and that's obviously why you guys are there. But like both said, you got 11 damn fantasy teams. Like, how do you keep track of all that and still be able to do your job, be a damn full-time dad and baseball coach? And Bart, how do you manage that?
Well, I think one good thing is that part of his job is to host a fantasy show.
Okay,
so
he hosts the show, but still, he got 11 teams. He got a.
It's too many teams.
There's too many damn teams.
It's too many teams.
For one man?
But it's less
time consuming. But thankfully, everything's portable. So, you know, I spend a lot of time Sunday morning, you know, looking at fantasy stuff. I mean, that's just. You know.
Plus, he's here all the time. It's not like he's at remotes or anything.
When does the fantasy show start?
I thought that was.
So, funny. All right. So, I was going to mention this on Friday. Saturday morning from 7 to 8, that's where One Dude with a Fantasy is going to live for this football season. Starts this Saturday.
Okay.
My last Bo Johnson experience show is Sunday night.
Okay.
So, we got One Dude with a Fantasy Saturday. Then, Sunday night, we are doing a live draft for the 92.9 Listener League.
Oh, nice.
Eight producers and four listeners. Eight producers / hosts, four listeners.
Okay.
We're going to do it on the air Sunday night at 9:20 is when the draft's going to start.
Sounds good.
Great, great.
Sounds awesome.
I was going to say, I know how he has time to do all that and keep track of it because he doesn't get to go to events.
Oh, see. Man,
that's what I'm sitting there doing while y'all are having fun at events.
See, you just got to keep just
because he's here.
And it's football content.
He's here in the air conditioning. All right, let's get to an NFL no huddle.
We're going no huddle
with the midday show. No huddle.
The best the NFL has to offer.
Go now, let's go. Set.
This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Again, yesterday, cut down day in the NFL. All the teams by 4 o'clock had to get down to 53. Now, that's the initial 53.
Right.
Things can and most likely will change. But nothing shocking from a Falcons perspective.
No.
I think we thought maybe Chris Blair would make the team. He didn't. They kept 9 offensive linemen instead of 8. So that's the odd man out there. Kevin King didn't make the 53. We were hopeful that he would, sort of his story and getting a chance to talk to him at training camp. But other than that, it was all pretty expected stuff. Now, Heinicke's on the 53. I guess that surprised some people.
Yeah, it did. I never thought they were going to cut him.
Yeah.
I thought they might trade him, but I didn't. I was
and
never,
they still may.
They still may.
Still may.
I was never under the assumption that Taylor, whatever his name is, he was not going to be on the roster. I never had that assumption. But I think the takeaway for me always is, like, when you see a guy playing so well in the preseason, a lot of times you're like, oh, he made the team. And we actually thought.
We thought that was Chris Blair.
Yeah, but because. You know, they don't list him as a wide receiver, but because Kyle Pitts is going to be the third wide receiver, second receiver, whatever you want to call it, because they're going to be in a lot of 11 personnel. So he's going to be, imagine like Dallas Clark. Imagine how when Dallas Clark was with Indy.
Mm-hmm.
In Indy, him and MP, they were tight ends, but Dallas played mostly in the slot. And then when they went true 11, he was the tight end. And so that's how they're going to use Kyle Pitts. They're going to be an 11 personnel. I saw a stat where they're in preseason, they were the number 2 11 personnel team in the preseason coming into this. So ultimately, that's going to be their thing. But because you have Kyle Pitts, you'd be a more 12 personnel with 2 tight ends, with Warner being the blocking tight end and Kyle Pitts being in that slot area.
Other names that you may recognize that were released yesterday, Allen Robinson released by the Giants. Carl Lawson was released by the Cowboys. C.J. Henderson was released by the Texans. Caleb Farley was released by the Titans. Kadarius Toney was released by the Chiefs. And Desmond Ritter was released by the Cardinals.
I give them a call.
Who?
Toney? Yeah. I think he's.
See what he's up to.
I mean, if you look at.
I bet the Steelers call him.
I bet somebody needs to call him. Because, I mean, the dude. I mean, so much stuff, knuckleheadedness and lining up off sides and everything. But when he has the ball in his hands.
Yeah.
Dude's electric.
As long as he doesn't line up offside or do anything crazy.
When he get the ball in his hands,
he's very good.
Dude is electric.
He's very
man.
Good player.
He would be ideal for this new kickoff return rule.
That's a great point.
He'd be ideal, my opinion.
That's a great point. All right, here's Zach Taylor, the head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals, talking about Jamar Chase playing week one.
Yeah, he's looked great. You know, same Jamar I'm used to, and the plan will be continue to practice with him.
Zach, I think my Zoom may have cut out. Did you say the plan is for Jamar to be ready for week one?
Yeah, he's going to practice this week, and we'll just keep taking it from there.
Are you confident he'll play week one?
Yes.
There you go.
I mean, he didn't get what he wanted. And you know, the only way to get things is withholding your service. He did that during camp. He's a year behind CD and Justin Jefferson also. I think he is.
I thought him and Justin were the same, but I could be wrong. Totally wrong.
I thought he was one behind. Because remember, he set out that one year. He set out his last year at LSU.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think he's one year.
Right.
Yeah, I think he's one year behind.
He did set out the
CD
COVID
and,
year.
And CD and them. And so just like Justin had to wait, I know that the Vikings wanted to do a deal with Justin Jefferson last year at this time, the same amount of time as Ja'Marr Chase has been. But obviously, they waited a whole another year, and he got his money. So, to me, it seems like Ja'Marr Chase is going to have to wait because they have this new thing, and I don't understand why this is a new phrase that these dudes like throw out. I would not do any negotiate during the season. Why not? Why the hell am I going to turn out with new money not during the season?
Yeah, if they offer me what I want
with you
in November.
Yeah.
I'm going to take it in November.
Hell wrong with y'all.
No, you're right about that. Yeah. I'm looking at his draft class now. He was the first receiver taken, but he's the Kyle Pitts class.
Yeah.
Ja'Marr Chase is.
Yeah.
Waddle was taken right after him.
And Waddle got a contract.
Devontae Smith was taken after him. He got a contract.
I think they did pay Waddle. Yeah, they did pay Waddle.
They did.
They did
now, none Waddle. Of these guys got like market-setting contracts, but still, they have been paid. I'm sliding down here to see if there's any other. That's pretty much it as far as the wide receivers go in the first round. Anyway, sounds like he's going to be ready to go, which is good for the Bengals. There's no doubt about that. All right, here's Steve Young telling Brandon Ayuk to take less money.
That's where the agent's got to be able to figure out a way to bring that player to see the values other than the dollars.
Hey, get the hell out of here, Steve!
Keep in context, bro, that there's a lot of great players out there that are playing with brutal teams that have no chance to see the full measure of who they could be as a player. And that's not you.
Get the hell out of here, Steve Young. Get the man. Why does he have to take less money? Because he's on a good football team. Damn that. This is my first time to hit the jackpot. Let me get mine. Anybody tell you take less, Steve? And that's who needs to take less, our quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Okay, quarterbacks need to take less.
If anybody's going to share the money a little bit.
Ain't no way in hell.
Also, you think it has anything to do with Steve being a former 49er?
And I love Steve Young.
Being the 49er.
And I love Steve Young. But no,
it's bad advice.
Telling people to take less money, Steve. All right? Because you know what? I know you did not make anywhere near the money that these quarterbacks are making. But I guarantee you may take less.
You didn't take less when the time came.
Come on,
back
man.
Then.
Come on, man. Stop telling folks to take less money.
You'd find other value.
Yeah.
You get to live in San Francisco.
You know, I'll be
dwindling
away with all that loot. Yeah, I've dwindled away with all that loot. Get out of here, man.
All right, Brent Key is going to join us next. He is the head coach of the 1-0 Georgia Tech football team. We'll see if we can get him to talk about how much fun beating Florida State was on Saturday. We know we'll get him to talk about what's coming up this Saturday against Georgia State as well. So don't go anywhere. Brent Key, after this, on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show. Andy and Randy, hump day. 12 o'clock hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. 20 minutes away from the back page with Bo. Georgia Tech head football coach Brent Key is going to join us in just a few minutes as well as he's takes the time out of what I'm sure is a very busy week.
Yeah, man.
They get back from Ireland, straight to work on Georgia State. They got that game on Saturday night over there at Bobby Dodd, so he'll join us in just a few minutes.
Yeah, man. I mean, I think, you know, when you look at a coach like Coach Key, he's a forward-thinking coach. You know how I feel about O-line coach being head coach?
He kept saying, I was listening to his press conference from yesterday, that's the windshield is so much bigger than the rear view.
Yeah.
Because you got to look forward.
Yeah, man. And he's
I
looking
love
forward.
Stuff
he's
like
looking
that.
Forward. I mean,
I love stuff.
Well, obviously,
like
we got him on the line right now, so we can ask him. First of all, congratulations, Coach, on such a big win on Saturday against Florida State. Because we know we want to get ready for Georgia State. We're going to ask you one question or maybe two. How was that plane ride back, and how was it when you got back to Atlanta?
Yeah, I mean, just really back to normal. I mean, it was, the plane ride back. We actually watched the film that night after the game. So the plane ride back was more me meeting with coordinators and coaches, getting everything cleaned up, having everything ready to go for when we landed. We got back here, we landed. It was actually a big turnout. Like, students had come over to, like, the facility. Well, I say facility. It's demolition right now, building a new one. But, they kind of welcomed us back. But then we went in, changed, went straight to the weight room, worked out, did 110, ran our 110s, got a team meeting, position, offense, defense meeting, position meeting, turned the page because, I mean, it was 24 hours later by the time we got back. So time to get ready for the next one.
And I know that's what it is, but, like, obviously that's a really big win and a big stage and all that. Like, is there a moment of celebration? Like, is there anything you, like, just a fist pump when no one was looking or anything like that?
No, yeah. I mean, look, I want these kids to enjoy these wins. We work hard now. I mean, everybody, I mean, you work hard to get wins. I'm not somebody that's going to just turn the page after the game and talk and focus on the bad things. I mean, you know, these guys work their tails off, and these coaches work their tails off to be able to go out there 12 guaranteed opportunities a year. So, yeah, we're going to enjoy it when it happens. We got to understand what got us there and how we got to get to the next one.
Coach, when you go against an opponent like you're going against this Saturday in Georgia State, obviously the talent, we can talk about the talent disparity and everything, but they got a new staff, new schemes and everything like that. How is it trying to prepare for kind of the unknown of what you don't know what they're going to do with their offense and defense schemes?
Yeah, really, it's you know, playing in week zero, it's as if we have two, you know, week one games.
Right.
And it's like anything in a week one game, you're focused on yourself. You try to anticipate some things that might take place. But you can't dictate, you can't, you know, foreshadow and see what type of offense, defense plays, who they're going to single out, who they're going to, you know, isolate on either side of the ball, special teams. So really it's about practicing what we do, improving, because we have a game now where we have a lot of improvement we have to make, and that's what we have to do is continually get better as a team and understand that, you know, everything's in front of us as we move forward.
Georgia Tech head football coach Brent Key joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. I know you said this a few times, but I heard you say it in your press conference earlier this week. There's sort of three phases of learning how not to lose, learning to win, and learning to win consistently. Which of those steps is hardest and why?
I don't know. I never looked at which one was the hardest. Just kind of jump into it. And I think there's recognition when you complete one of them. I do think that probably the learning how to win consistently. I think that's the, because that becomes so much mental. You know, once you prove that you know how to win as a football team, as an organization, I think then the consistent part of it becomes the most challenging.
Coach, I heard you on with the ESPN guys before the game and everything. You walking on the field, and I think it was Desmond asked you, how do you win this game? And you said in the trenches, that this game will be won in the trenches. So obviously everybody who watched the game saw the ability to be able to dominate it. Is that the identity you wanted to come into this season with your football team, Coach, being an offensive line coach? Like, we're going to go as far as these five guys up front and the guys on the other side that rotate on the defensive side.
Yeah, of course. I mean, there's three things I think establish when you turn on tape that should establish how, you know, what type of team you are and the toughness you have in your team, and that's how you run the ball when everyone knows you're going to run it.
Right.
You know, how you stop the run when everyone knows they're going to run it, and how you cover kicks. And those three things show up, and it shows up discipline. It shows up toughness. You know, we talk about an identity, and that, you know, identities are created over the course of time. I mean, that's like your name, and that sticks with you forever. I think we've set a standard for who we want to be, right? And that was the big challenge, you know, early on in this process. But now it's, you know, establishing an identity, like you said.
It was a physical win on Saturday. I think that'll probably be true of every game you guys play. Certainly you want that to be true of every game that you guys play in.
Yes, sir.
How's the health? How's the health ahead of this game coming up this Saturday night?
Yeah, I mean, it's college football. I mean, anytime you play in these games week in and week out, and you play the type of football that we want to play every week, you're going to have injuries. You're going to have people that are hurt. You know, people banged up. We had a lot of people out of practice yesterday. We had still a good number of people out of practice today that weren't practicing. But that's why also why you have depth. That's why we practice the way we do. So it's you learn. I don't want to say enjoy the pain, but you know, you learn not to flinch at it. And you know, football's it's a collision sport, and it's not for the faint of heart. And you got to callous the mind, the body, you know, soul, all those things to be able to, you know, play a lengthy schedule the way the game's supposed to be played.
Coach, obviously, the you know, coming to the season, you know, we had the established quarterback and things like that. Defensively, had some trouble last season. And then the first drive Florida State has, they go down, get a touchdown, and then your defense was like, okay. Was it a mindset, Coach, you're like, okay, this is not going to happen, or was it schematic things that you, that your defensive staff got together to be able to kind of hold Florida State down?
Yeah, I mean, last season is last season. Last drive is last drive. Last play is last play. And that's the, that, that's the mindset that we have. And, you know, does that carry over to everyone every day? You know, you hope so. We preach it into them. We live that way. I live that way. Because if something happens, really, so what, now what? I mean, what are you going to do, dwell on it? You know, especially when you know you have the ability to be better. So I thought the coaching staff did a great job of getting those guys. They sat down. But really, it goes back to the players really trusting the plan and understanding that it wasn't really something they did. They did. It was things we didn't do. And, you know, once that anxiety and that kind of nervousness of the initial drive settled in, you know, I thought we played good football. We really did. And that's why we deferred. I mean, that's why we wanted those guys to have the ball first.
Brent Key joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy ahead of the Georgia Tech, Georgia State game coming up on Saturday night. Heard you mention that you challenged everyone to find one thing that they felt like they could improve from last week to this week on the team. What was yours? Did you have one for yourself from last week to this week?
Of course I did. I mean, I'm not going to ask the kids to do something I'm not going to do. So, you know, those things are all stay internal. We will talk about them on Friday night before the game. I'll tell them what mine is. And tell them what I've done through the week and what to expect on Saturday night with the improvement that I've worked on this week as well as all of them.
Coach, that last drive was masterful, Coach, because it's, you know, Coach, we call it 4-minute offense, GATA, whatever you want to call it. You had a little mishap, but for you to be able and your team to be able to hold the ball and milk it the way you did, is that, I mean, obviously you want to be able to win the game, but to hold the ball the way you did, not give them opportunity. How often do you all practice that during the week of a game?
You know, we practice situations every single day. And some of them are scripted. Some of them are ones that we throw out there. But I'll tell you what, I've never practiced, you know, the old, you know, Coach Saban had the thing, I think it was Coach Belichick as well, where it's a, you know, 2-minute, 4-minute, get the ball back.
Right.
You know, the whole series, four minutes out there. Then it's 2 minutes. The next group comes out. Well, we had 4 minutes and 2 minutes built into the same drive.
Right.
So I don't know if I've ever we've never practiced that. I've never heard of anybody practicing that. But when you look up at the clock and you see that it's 6 minutes and 6:33 left on the clock, and you know this is only your seventh possession of the game, all right, you ain't getting the ball back. So we had to make something out of it. But also, we didn't want to give it back to them. So I thought Buster did a really good job of calling the plays in that drive that allowed us to, you know, when we threw the ball, there were things that stayed in bounds for the most part. We handed the ball off. We were able to move the ball up front, and that's the confidence you got to have in the guys up front and the running backs holding on to the ball, knowing they're trying to strip it. Mm-hmm. And of course, they had 3 timeouts four actually with the 2-minute timeout.
Right,
so
right.
I thought it was a really good job by the offensive coaches of putting that drive together and the players understanding the situation. Even though we hadn't practiced it, they understood what the situation was, and we were able to finish with the field goal.
Final question for us here, Coach. Thanks again for the time today. We appreciate it. I love the story you told about fans showing up when you guys got back. Like, obviously, folks are fired up about this team and what happened on Saturday. What do you expect it to look like in there on Saturday night?
Yeah, I'm expecting a good crowd. I'm expecting the students to be really into it, really excited. You know, the season went on last year, and we played really the second half of the year. I thought the fans really did a great job of being here for these kids. You know, especially the students and the alumni,
right,
the people that have the same and gone through the same shared adversity that these kids have. That's what's special, is that, you know, people that have graduated from here, people that are in school here, to see that there's guys on that field that are doing the exact same thing they do and that they have done, and they're out there playing the game, just to have their support, that means everything to us.
Coach, we appreciate
it. Coach. Good luck, Coach.
All right, thanks a lot. Go Jackets.
That's Brent Key there, the head coach of the Georgia Tech football team. 1-0, great win against Florida State. Focus is on Saturday, obviously. But yeah, man, first home game should be a good one.
Yeah, but I love your question, because it's going to be a lot of that with his players. They're going to inflict pain.
Oh, yeah.
But it's going to be a lot of guys going to be sore for a few, three or four days after them.
No, and that's the tough part about sort of where they're at a little bit is in the building process of they've got, I think, a really good 11 on both sides of the ball right now. Yes. It's like, where is it after that a little bit? And for him to be talking about guys not being able to practice this week so far after one game, most teams haven't even played one game yet. Yeah. So they've got that extra week to expect to get right back to that physicality with those guys. That's hard as the season goes on. Like, the way that they play asks a lot of these guys.
You got to be you got to be crazy anyways, like football.
You got to be tough.
But you got to be tough as nails. Yep. And a lot of it, we talk about the physical part of it, the mental part, because you know that you're going to be hurt. You know it's going to be hurting and everything like that. And you always have that mentality, just get me through 3 hours. All right? And I can gut my way if we got to go past those 3 hours. And so, the amount of strain and physicality that he plays with and his team plays with, that he wants to, pretty much steal your will, it's going to take its toll on you and everything like that. But, yeah, he's right about the one thing, because, you know, getting those alumni in there, getting those students in there and everything like that, and obviously the crowd, mamas and daddies, going to be there. But to have that place like that, what they did Saturday, what did we already say? They went and got another big recruit after that game.
Yeah.
The crowd, they were outside of wherever they were when they got back to them back.
That's cool. I hadn't heard that before.
You know
that
what I mean?
Awesome.
That's awesome right there. And then the fact that, it's going to be a night game, Georgia State on the flats. It's going to be one of them things. It's going to be great. It's going to be a hell of an atmosphere.
Yeah, like, no one can really, you die hard, you should go, but it is what it is. Like, no one can really blame you for not being fired up for some of the last few teams but you got to be there on Saturday, right?
Man.
Like, they just beat Florida State in front of everybody, and they did it in a really fun game. And they're playing Georgia State on Saturday night in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Like, you got to, if you're a Georgia Tech fan,
be in that thing.
You got to be in there on Saturday. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to the back page with Bo after this. Thanks for being with us on a hump day Wednesday. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Take the baseline out.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Midday show, Andy and Randy. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Thanks again to Brent Key for spending some time with us in the middle of their preparation for Georgia State on Saturday night. One of the things he said in his press conference was, as far as like season goals go, state championship. And I was like, huh.
Yeah, because they play state.
Right. You just don't hear college football coaches say that all that often.
Who else do they play?
There's one other team in state that they'll play.
Who?
This year, in the last game of the season.
I mean,
last game of the regular season.
Let's crawl. let's crawl. And believe me, I've seen it. I've heard people tell me. Just crawl.
Oh, they really this week?
Yeah.
Huh.
Let's just crawl.
All right.
Let's just crawl.
Yeah. Let's just crawl. I get it. I like it. I like the confidence. I love it. I love it.
Let's just crawl.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Let's crawl because we ain't Florida State.
No, it's a little different.
No, it ain't a little different. It's a lot different.
Yeah.
just crawl.
Yep.
Just crawl.
But you know what? Let that confidence creep in.
I love it. Hey,
so
what? I'm not mad at you for saying that.
Nothing bad can happen other than disappointment.
I'm just going to be like, just crawl. That's all. just crawl.
Well, phase one of the state championship can be accomplished on Saturday night.
Well, it was funny. We were just talking because Lindor was talking about Juan Soto possibly going to the Mets, and I was like, would you say?
I said, the Mets are just going to throw money at the problem.
And
again,
I was like, if that's the problem, I'll throw it at them. Hey, you want to move to Queens? Like, I know you live in Manhattan.
Soto know where the Mets play?
Yeah, you want to move to Queens? I mean, I don't know. I promise you, I can, and I know Sal will tell us. But I've been in New York plenty of times. But I just forget, like, is there a bridge to the Queens from Manhattan?
There's all kinds of bridges. They got a lot of bridges
and everything.
You got to go to the bridges to get to Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And then there's a ferry for Staten Island.
Yeah.
But also maybe there's a bridge.
Who knows? I don't know.
I went to Citi Field one time. I saw the Mets play the Tigers. I think it was Scherzer versus Matt Harvey.
Nice.
Like peak Harvey.
Nice.
It was pretty fun.
No, why did I saw a clip, and it was the first time I ever heard the story. I thought that's what happened, but I can't remember. I heard the story. It was what's the Wells, the pitcher for
David Wells?
David Wells.
Yeah.
And how hungover and he was from the night before. Mm-hmm. Like, I kind of remember that story, but he told, like, a lot of it about, like, Coney. He was like, Coney's like, come here. He said, get out of here now. He said, if Torrey smells you like
you smell like a bar.
You smell like a bar. And if Torrey, he's going to kill you. And he's like, he went outside before everybody got out there and, like, hungover, no hitter. It's like, Hell yeah.
Yeah. No, it adds to the lore. But the greatest thing he said,
he's like, I felt better as it went on. And I knows that feeling.
Yeah, you work it out.
Work it out. You got to work that hangover out.
It was like last Wednesday. By the time we got to the AMA, it was a little bit better than the first segment.
Yeah, we're good. Yeah, we're good. But see, the thing about it is sometimes you just got to fight through it.
You do. You have to.
You got to fight through that.
Well, then there was that pitcher for the, I think it was for the Astros back in the day, right? He threw a it wasn't a perfect game, but it was a no-hitter. And he was on mushrooms or acid or something. Was it Doc Ellis? Like, he didn't even know he was supposed to pitch that day. And he was like, on acid. He said all he
was
on the Astros. Oh, he was just trying to follow the comet streak.
He threw a no-hitter on Ellis?
The streak of comet, like, dust that the ball was leaving behind it in his mind.
Right.
He was just trying to guide that. And if he could control the comet streak, then he could get it in the strike zone. He threw a no hitter.
Hell no.
On acid. Yeah.
That's supreme focus right there, man.
Something.
I mean, damn.
It's something.
Like, I mean, because I know people, these always, I have to get smoke and get high before games. I'm like, I don't know how you did that. I mean, I don't. But because I never tried it or whatever like that.
It just seems like it would be dangerous.
It would be like, I would not put, like, it was like on a game day, like I didn't practice for hungover and all those things.
Yeah.
But like on a game day, I'm all water, a cup of coffee and just flush water all day. I couldn't imagine putting that stuff, like smoking and edibles and stuff. Like, people would take edibles before games. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
I don't see it.
There's NBA guys that played decade long careers high every
day. Yeah. That's like, damn.
How'd you do that?
I mean, they say the focus is there. All right.
It's not, yeah.
All right.
Teach their own, I suppose.
Yeah, I guess. Whatever you got
to
do.
Yeah. Let's get to the back page with Bo.
Bringing you the stories that didn't make the cut anywhere else in the show. It's the back page with Bo Johnson on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back page with Bo every day at 12:45. Hello, Bo.
Speaking of getting and being high at work, great segue, fellas. Why is Ryan Leaf so salty? Ryan Leaf goes on the Outkick Hot Mic podcast, alleging that Pat McAfee, after his show over in Ireland, where he was clearly 3 or 8 Guinnesses deep, alleges that Pat McAfee is high 80% of the time he does the Pat McAfee show.
Well,
why you got to be a hater like that? I mean, kind of jealous. Yeah, I know he got fired by ESPN.
I think that, you know what?
He alleges also that Pat McAfee had something to do with that.
Yeah, I mean, well, first of all, that's a lame-ass podcast that he goes on, because all they do is react to everything that ESPN does.
Yeah. Do something interesting.
Yeah, do something interesting.
Come up with your own stuff.
Yeah, lame-ass show. Whatever, man. Whatever. I like Pat personally. I don't know too much about his show, because it's always on when we're here. I'll listen to it when he has like certain guests on and everything. But yeah, I mean, he was hammered. He was hammered,
and he admitted it.
He admitted it. They say he threw up between breaks.
Oh.
Like, that's, I mean, what the hell? What kind of show? Like, yeah,
man.
Like, I'm in Ireland. They let us do this show in Ireland.
That's what the show's going to be.
We're
going to be drinking a lot of Guinness and a lot of Jameson.
Up from the flow up.
It's just what it is.
From 11 to 2 o'clock. Toe up.
It's kind of what it is. Now, I understand that Ryan Leaf is a recovering alcoholic, so maybe that hits a little bit different.
Yes.
I'm not sure. But he has been quite salty, like, publicly about a number of things.
He was really mad at
Herb Street last year about the way that they talked about Washington State. I don't know. Like, you know, I'm happy that he's gone from where he was to he's clean.
Yeah,
he seems like he's a good family man, all that kind of
unbelievable
stuff.
Unbelievable.
It's a great story.
Great story.
Yeah.
But, like, he really been, like, going at everybody about some blitz cylinders. I tell you, I remember I sent this clip, y'all, in the group chat of that AI with Herb Street talking about Florida State fans. The funniest thing ever. Because I remember we talked about this on Friday. Y'all really are that mad at Herb Street that y'all think that Herb Street kept you out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
And the way they hounded this man on all day Saturday.
Yeah.
And then for that to come out. And then for you to lose.
Yeah.
Even though he picked y'all.
Yeah. Then lost two in a row now.
They lost two in a row. Oh.
Yep.
Damn. I mean, I love my Seminole brothers. I know y'all that listen. Don't text me right now, okay? I got nothing but love for you. I know y'all weren't the ones blaming Herbie. Was one of them.
One of them.
Look, I watched the PMS show. If Pat McAfee does that show high 80% of the time, he hides it very well. He never slurs. He's always having fun, and he's always uppity and energetic. But
what, high on what?
I don't know. Maybe energetic.
He said in the on the Ireland show that he had taken an edible as well. So I assume maybe that.
Yep. There's Val. Got to take the Queensboro Bridge. It does a job connecting Manhattan to Queens. Thanks, Val.
There you go.
There you go.
One of the multiple bridges.
They got a lot of bridges over there.
Did y'all know y'all were witnessing history last night? Watching the Braves game.
I did know that.
Did you?
No.
I don't know. What was it?
Schwellenbach versus Woods Richardson. Longest named matchup in baseball history.
Phenomenal.
Never did.
That's awesome.
I did not know that.
Woods Richardson was interesting because there wasn't even a hyphen. It just says Woods Richardson, which Richardson's kind of a long last name anyway. You throw Woods on there.
Typically, there is a hyphen, like if you add a name to, you know, for a step parent or something like that. I'm not 100% sure where Woods Richardson gets his last name from or if that's just his natural last name, but yeah. Longest named matchup in history.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
I wonder what the shortest named matchup in history is.
I can find that out for you.
Probably two.
Like Lee.
Lee and Yee.
Cliff Lee versus
Don Yee.
Don Yee.
Might be a Woo out there or a Lee or something like that.
Yeah, there's got to be like a two-letter last name guy at some point.
So y'all already talked about the Ant-Man talking about, you know, there was only one good player 20 years ago, and that was Michael Jordan. Then Magic Johnson fires off on him. So Kevin Garnett decides to comment on Ant-Man's comments, except he's a little more mad about his.
Is he curse?
I don't think anybody in this generation could have played like 20 years ago. If I'm being 100, and this is to Ant, this is to everybody in our league, Tatum, all y'all. Let me tell y'all something, bro. 20 years ago, bro, you couldn't get to a triple step back. You hear what I'm saying to you? You couldn't get to a triple step back. And then if you shot that, it had to go in. You know why? Because we had efficiency back in the day, my dude, and it was so hard. It was too physical.
Yeah, like, look, this generational warfare amongst NBA players.
It's so corny.
It is.
It's so corny.
It is.
Goodness gracious. I mean, okay.
You're all really good.
The athletes today are much more athletic than they were then. It's just a fact of evolution of workout and everything else that goes into it. But for you to say that and about them.
It's also wrong.
You know, but.
And, like, very, just, like, very. I don't know what the right word, like ill-informed.
Yes.
Like you just like, this is not right. This is not true. Like you turn on the games back then and see a bunch of guys that were skilled. Yes, like the big men today probably have more perimeter skill than those guys had. They were more physical back then.
Yes.
The game has evolved. It happens, but everybody who played in the NBA 30, 40 years ago was really good, really athletic, really talented.
Yes.
Everybody who plays in the NBA now is really good, really athletic, really talented. It's just a slightly different game, and things that are asked of you are different.
Why did that touch a nerve from Magic?
Dude, though? Magic never gets mad.
Never says nothing.
Yeah.
That really, and plays made plenty of those these young boys say something.
Yeah.
Like, what touched the nerve? That touched the nerve with Magic.
A little jealousy there between Magic and MJ,
man. What the Magic got to be jealous of?
I don't think he should be jealous. He's got 5 championships.
I don't know.
Gold medals.
Everybody considers MJ the GOAT, and Magic's really never in the conversation.
That's true. You know? I don't know. And obviously, Magic Johnson's one of the most skilled.
Magic, exactly. The big 6'9
players
point guard?
That have ever been. He's one of the most skilled players that have ever played, let alone big
players.
Like,
Magic is a top. I have Magic as one of my top 5 players.
Magic Johnson's a 6'9 point guard.
Magic Johnson was awesome. Magic was awesome. Yeah. Dude, but remember I said that I had to finish watching Clip, right?
I was going to say some more stuff about what else Magic was
good at,
too. Yeah,
I was going to say, that's why I went ahead and switched it on.
Okay.
That clip, that damn, what was it, that owner's name? He was
Donald Sterling?
Donald Sterling was nothing, dog, how he was talking about Magic.
Like, what did he say about Magic? It was on the level
of how he talked about how the character portrayed Magic as like it wasn't winning time, how they had Magic, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like, that was like, damn. Did he
didn't have a pickup line. He just went straight.
Yeah, straight to it.
Straight to it.
Hey, girl, come here. He said it wasn't true.
Magic denied it.
He denied it.
Oh, man. Those shows are great.
They're just funny as hell.
I do wish that, like, in the NFL, there's just so much more respect from generation to generation.
It is.
I don't know what it is about the NBA.
It's like, damn, man, why are y'all so just trying to diss? And it'd be the old dudes, too, now. They can't wait to poo-poo on these young boys and their style of play.
Dude, half the pregame shows with old guys, all they do is talk about how soft everybody is now. Yeah.
I don't know. Now, could you imagine, like Magic trying to guard Ant? Magic, Ant will wear Magic ass out.
True.
But Same thing, Magic can ball.
Yeah, Magic was incredible.
Magic gets you on that hip.
Look that way, throw it that way.
Yeah, man. I'm going to leave Magic alone.
Skyhook. Man played center in an NBA Finals as a rookie.
Like,
won the game.
Tell me who's stopping Kareem in today's game with that skyhook.
No one.
Nobody.
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 Absolutely.
Nobody's stopping
Absolutely
skyhook.
Right. All right. We'll come back. We'll get to the big story of the day to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. 53-man roster has come out for the Falcons. A couple names you may have thought would be on the roster are not. We'll get some of the other big names around the NFL as well. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.